In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you feel it in the air? I feel it. You feel Pascha coming? It is. We're in the preparation period for the preparation period. The period before Great Lent. And I always feel something stirring in my heart at this time. And it becomes even stronger during Great Lent. This hope in my heart. Now you have to understand what hope is. Hope's not wishing. Hope is not wanting. Hope is waiting for that which is to come. And this is a hope in my heart. For me and for all of you. That somehow, something would change in us. And we would feel Christ in our heart more than we did before. That there will be some enlightenment. Something that which is cold becomes warm. Something which is hard becomes soft. I feel that right now, that hope. And it's building, and it will become even stronger during Great Lent. That's why perhaps I get repetitive, but I really don't know how to talk about Gospels like this in any other way, or in general, all of Great Lent in any other way. Great Lent, and this Gospel is an example, is a time when God will visit us and enlighten us and prepare us for the great enlightenment, which is at the Pascha, when he visits us in a way that is more powerful than any other time. And when we are prepared for that, it changes us. Sometimes it changes us in a way that we see, that we can actually apprehend. I don't mean see with our eyes, but we know something changes. Perhaps there's a bad habit that we suddenly don't want to do anymore and we never do it again. That's happened to people. But most of the time what happens to us is something invisible, but it's cumulative. I've been a Christian for a while now. Not a good Christian, but a better Christian than I was before. And that's what's going to happen this Great Lent. And that's what I want for you as well. That you'll be a better Christian than you were before. That God will enlighten you. This gospel about the publican and the Pharisee is a gospel about enlightenment. It's about a relationship between God and man. It appears to be something about teaching about humility and pride. And that is very true, because without humility, we can have no relationship with God. And pride is not quite the opposite of humility, but pride is destructive to humility and makes us unable to know God. It makes us fools like the Pharisee was when he compared himself to other men. And the gospel is very careful to say he prayed with himself. What idiot prays with himself? Can you answer your own prayers? We pray to God. We don't pray with ourselves. Now, of course, he wasn't addressing himself as a deity, but he was not addressing God with his heart, only with his lips, because of his pride. So I'll give you a couple examples from the Lenten Triodion of this teaching of pride versus humility. But then let's talk about the real good stuff, about humility. So in the canons, Matins canon from last night, it says, the Pharisee, exalted by the works of justification, was grievously ensnared in the nets of vainglory through his wild boasting. But the publican was lifted on the light wing of humility, and he drew near to God. That's the critical part. He drew near to God because of his humility. I just saw an example just before we came out for the sermon. That's a good metaphor for drawing near to God. One of my grandchildren came and snuggled up with Marina, drawing near because they have a relationship, because they love one another, because they want to be close to one another. That kind of relationship is the one we should have with God. I'll give you one more verse. The publican used humility as a ladder and was raised to the height of heaven, but the wretched Pharisee was lifted on the rotten emptiness of pride and fell into the snare of hell. You ever been in an attic and walked along the boards and one of them cracks, that they look good, but it wasn't, and you fall. That's happened to me. Perhaps some of you are more sensible, but I've been in a lot of attics. That's the main teaching of the external teaching of the gospel. And you need to know that. But you need to know more. So I want to tell you more about this gospel. This gospel is talking about someone drawing near to God. Not the one who thought he was righteous, the one who thought he was a terrible sinner, the one who wouldn't even look up to heaven, the one who beat upon his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." That one was the one that drew near to God. I'm going to tell you something about humility versus pride. Humility is not an effort to not be proud. Humility is a relationship with God, such that we know ourselves and we know God. Out of that relationship comes a knowledge that with God only is good, therefore we are bad without God, and naturally comes forth that we are not proud, that we are compassionate, that we are empathetic with people, and all the other things that come about as fruits of humility. But humility is not the effort to not be proud. Humility is to have a relationship with God. It's honesty. We see that in the publican. He didn't pretend to be anything he was not. And by the way, the Pharisee was not pretending to be something that he did not think he was. He actually thought he was those things. He thought he was righteous. He thought he was not like other men. He was not honest. Perhaps you would not say he was a liar by the strict definition of the word. He wasn't saying something that he knew to be untrue. He thought it was true. That's even worse. That kind of honesty that we must have comes from God visiting us and from us having a relationship with him, from us drawing near to him. Humility is to not depend on yourself. And the reason you don't depend on yourself is not because you say, okay, humility number two is don't depend on yourself. It's not a checklist of things that you do. It's not a recipe. You don't depend on yourself because you see yourself as undependable and God as dependable. Humility is very courageous because humility allows us to think of ourselves as nothing and yet approach God who is everything. Most people can't do that. Most people can't think poorly of themselves because then they can't pray. And they can't go through life because they have depression about the kind of terrible person they are. But when we have a relationship with God, we know ourselves to be who we are. There's no dishonesty. There's complete clarity that we are sinners. And yet, we can approach God and draw near to him. This is what this gospel's talking about. As I said, there is the external teaching. You must learn about humility, and you must learn to avoid pride. Absolutely. And perhaps in the beginning of our spiritual life, we should do things to expressly avoid pride. Later on in our life, we should not be trying to avoid pride. It shouldn't even occur to us to be proud, because God is with us, and we know who we are, and we know who he is, and we depend on him. Completely and fully. Let's you and I cultivate this feeling of the publican. Let's struggle to develop this relationship. How are you going to do it? I don't know. I have no idea. God does it. I know some of the practical things we do. We pray, we fast, we deal with those people that God puts in our life. Not just the ones that we like in our life, but the other ones especially. And God somehow changes us. But not in a robotic way, in a way that is cooperating with us. I want to tell you one of the most beautiful passages of scriptures. We read it today. Every time I read it, that's all I can think about from this story. It's really an amazing thing to say. At the end of the parable, the Lord says, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Then he explains it further. And it's good to know the further explanation. But that's enough for me. Do you know what justified means? People don't understand that word very well. There's a lot of words that people don't understand. Sin, people don't understand. Faith, people don't understand. Hope. Justified means to become righteous. Some people think it means to be declared righteous. That God declares you righteous even though you're unrighteous and therefore you can enter into the kingdom. It's not true. To be justified is to become righteous. God helps you to become righteous. You can't do it on your own. So this man, who is a sinner, came to his house justified. Do you think of Zacchaeus a little bit when you hear this? That we read about last week? The man who was a sinner got in the tree. The Lord said, "Make haste, come down, for today I will abide in your house." And then he completely changed. And he gave back to everyone he had defrauded. And he gave his goods to the poor, and he followed Christ. That's what's happening here. Now, perhaps this man didn't actually change all of his ways. That can happen. But still, God changed him and gave him of himself, drew near to him. That's what you should be looking for in your prayer. If you just rattle off prayers, that's not very effective at all. What you should be looking for in your prayer is to have that justification from God, to have Him visit you as your Father, and to be close to Him, to draw close to Him, just as a child draws close to their mother or father or their oma. This is what you should be looking for in prayer. Now, the wonderful news is that we're coming upon a time when the Lord is going to teach you that kind of prayer. Unfortunately, we tire easily. So we really can't be intense the entire year. We're just not capable of that. Only some of the very finest saints were capable of that level of exertion. But we're capable now, coming upon Great Lent and seeking God and trying to have more of a relationship so that when we pray, He is near. He's in our breath. Don't define your Great Lent by whether or not you fast better this year. Define your Great Lent by, are you developing more of a relationship? Is your prayer more intimate, stronger, more vehement? When you pray, is there a feeling in your heart that God is visiting you? It's a difficult thing to have sometimes. And if you're not accustomed to it, it'll be very hard for you. But God will help you. You can start like the publican. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Something our society does not understand. They think that people with a bad attitude can't get anything done. A poor attitude about yourself? No, you can't do well. People are taught all the time, you must be able to visualize yourself doing something, and you must think of yourself in ways that are complimentary. You know, no basketball player goes onto the court thinking, I'm not good enough, I'm going to lose. That's in the world. But in the spiritual life, we say we're not good enough, but we don't say we're going to lose. We say God will win. And so this publican, when he was praying, and although this is a fictional character, there are millions of people that have prayed just like this. So it's really reality. The Lord is using a fictional character to describe stone-cold reality. This publican, when he prayed and felt completely unworthy before God, God visited him and gave him consolation. Look for that consolation. That's what you should be looking for this Great Lent. And all the time. But like I said, we get tired. So we're coming upon a period when God is going to visit us. make himself more available to us. Although I shouldn't say that, he's always available to us. He'll make us more able to understand him. It'll be incremental for some of you, probably for almost all of you, for me certainly. But it will be real. That's what you should be looking for. That's the purpose of prayer, to be with God. It's not to praise him or to thank him or to ask for things or anything else. The real purpose of prayer is to be with God. Eventually we'll be with him fully and completely, but now only in pieces, only a little bit at a time, because of our sins. So let's, you and I, let's take the words of the publican to heart. Let's pray that way. You can see that it's sort of a germinal form of the Jesus Prayer. God be merciful to me, a sinner. You can say it that way if you want. You can say the Jesus Prayer if you want. But pray with humility. Pray with the knowledge that you're a sinner. But God will visit you. He will help you. It's exciting news, isn't it? I'm excited. Not in a worldly way. Lent always excites me. I know some of you, most of you, probably all of you, are not really quite like me. I know I'm a little different. Lent is my favorite time of the year. Because there's that knowledge that something's happening. Something's changing. And I love that feeling. Let's pray like the publican, huh? Let's just say, God be merciful to me, a sinner, with expectation. It's the important thing, with expectation. Don't just say, I'm a terrible person, I'm no good, I think I'll just eat worms and die. Don't say that. Say, I'm a terrible person, but God will make me good. And if you pray like the publican, God will justify you. It's guaranteed. Let's pray like the publican this Lent. God help us and justify us. Amen.